Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a PhD degree in public policy, MA degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
Welcome to Christian Worldview. This is Dr. John Coben. Glad you've joined us this morning. Here in Greenville, it's 55 degrees, going to get up to a high of 80 today. And in the afternoon, we're expecting some thundershower activity here and there. So be prepared for that as you make your way out for work this morning. Again, Christian Worldview is a show to help you think better. We're glad you started your morning with us today because we are unlike so many other talk show hosts out there and talk show radio programs out there because we deal with things that you just don't hear elsewhere. That's one of the most important things about Christian Worldview. And we help you think about things you've never thought about. Remember that listener last week who said to me, you know, I hear things on Christian Worldview every day that make me think and that I hadn't heard about anywhere beforehand or even thought about anywhere beforehand. We are not just parrots giving you the standard line from the neocon central news source, as you hear on every other talk radio show that I know of here in the upstate, at any rate. There are a few fledgling stations elsewhere. In fact, last evening I was asked to be on the political cesspool. In fact, I called in and was on for about 30 minutes with a man named James Edwards. He's a very remarkable young man, 24 years old, and he's running his own radio station in Memphis, near Memphis, Tennessee. And James Edwards really wanted to talk to me because he'd heard about, from some of our production staff, some of the things that we're doing here at the Tyranny Response Network and on Christian Worldview. He's very pro-South and Confederacy, as are we. He understands how the revisionist history has taken over and taken effect and is harming the vision that was pronounced by the American founders and held by the American founders, I should say. It was just an excellent time, an opportunity to make a friend and an acquaintance and to link the Tyranny Response Network with yet another small station in our area in the Southeast. So we're glad that that occurred last night. If you want a chance to listen to what happened there, you can go to Political Cesspool. That's Political, C-E-S-S-P-O-O-L, .org, and listen to the archived broadcast they have there on the website with James Edwards. This is a remarkable young man because he's 24 years old, and he was homeschooled, proudly homeschooled, and made a big point about it last night in talking to me, that he was a homeschooled product, and that he believed that his homeschooling allowed him to escape many of the miseries of the vicious indoctrination program of the government school in America, as well as the vicious programs that have spilled over into Christian schools. You know, many of these Christian schools today are teaching the same kind of history, for instance, that's taught in public schools. Lies about people like Abraham Lincoln, who was America's Stalin, as well as about Franklin Roosevelt, or really pussyfooting around with things and not really harming anybody's or hurting anybody's feelings, I should say, by what they say. This is typical of what we get in modern American textbooks consumed in mass, either at the public school and, unfortunately, at many Christian schools. Well, this man was a homeschooler, and I think this is the future, folks. He asked me on the air last night, do we really think we can make a change to the political process? And I said, let's be realistic. We've never been able to make a change to the political process. It always takes taking these bums to Runnymede, the parasites, hauling them out to Runnymede, putting a gun to the back of their head or the front of their head or any other part of their body and telling them, look, you're not going to do this to us anymore. That's the only way we eventually win. But in order to get to that point, we have to have an educated populace, one who's on our side, so to speak. We have to have a critical mass of people. It doesn't have to be everyone, obviously, but a significant minority that is willing to take a stand against the state. And that is what it's going to take. That's what it took in Chile when they ousted their communists in 1973. That's what it took in 1776 in America. That's what it took when the Magna Carta was written in medieval England. And that's what it would take today. Politicians do not yield their power voluntarily. It's a myth to believe that we can get involved with the political process and eventually just change things, and things will work out. Now, there is another option we have here in the South, because the South culturally is so different than the rest of the country, at least the North. I think the South and the West could easily have a union that would allow, again, for a confederacy or a separate nation. And although that's, you can say, well, it's been tried once and it failed. Well, it failed because we were beaten back and overpowered in a war, in a brutal war undertaken by Abraham Lincoln and his cronies up in the North, the war governors, who were just a bunch of industrialists who wanted to loot the South. Well, this could happen again, obviously, not now. I'm not saying that we should call for movements for secession and so forth now, because we don't have the popular support that's necessary or the tactical backing that's necessary in order to pull it off. But we'd be in favor of that. And that's one of the things that excites me most about things like Christian Exodus. They are a secessionist movement. They think that we could literally secede. Remember, all those Western states don't like what's going on any more than the South does, the Rust Belt and Northeasterners. And those people up there are very serious about what they believe. They like their socialist platform, their big government platform, their strong centralist platform. That's what they're into. It's going to be very difficult to change their minds. People in the West, remember that in the vast majority of counties in the West, even in California, Oregon, and Washington, people are strongly with us in terms of their values. It's only in the large cities like Portland, Eugene, Seattle, San Francisco, Los Angeles, where the tail basically wags the whole dog. Those people have the population, and although there are millions of people in those areas which are with us in many regards, there are more that are not. And that's why those states swing the left way. But bear in mind, there are a lot of people suffering in California under those kind of tyrannies. And if there was a county-by-county vote, most of those states would go with us, I think, on many of these issues. We're not there yet. If we had a vote to secede right now, we're under no delusions that it would actually occur. But just bear in mind that not everybody in the West is some pinko or homosexual activist or things like that. There are very different folks, different kinds of people out there in those states. Any rate, I thought I'd bring that to your attention this morning, since it happened yesterday. I had this excellent interview with this homeschooler. They are the future. They will change things as long as we have more homeschoolers. They will be not affected by the leftist agenda that's so prominent today in the public school system, and the materialist agenda, the humanist socialist side of things. And we can actually have some hope for the future. We need to support homeschooling. We need to get Christian schools to turn away from this this history that they teach, especially even locally here at Bob Jones University, which is a notoriously conservative Christian college. If you look at their textbooks they put out for homeschoolers, very pro-Lincoln, very anti-Confederacy, as far as I'm concerned. Now, they're going to say, we're not anti, we're objective. They're not objective. They're feeding you the lie, a little bit lighter lie than you might get elsewhere. But we need to educate Christian schools. We need to get them out of the mire as well. Well, this also relates pretty well to this story about the Ecuadorian president. This is reported on CBS News on the 20th. Congress removed embattled president, this is their Congress down there, Lucio Guitares from office Wednesday after a week of escalating street protests against him and swore in Vice President Alfredo Palacio as Ecuador's new leader. A special session made up of opposition legislatures and the 100-seat unicameral Congress took less than an hour to reach a decision by a vote of 62-0 in hopes of ending a crisis that was quickly spiraling out of control with the threat of violent clashes between Guitares supporters and opponents. Congress President Cynthia Viteri swore in Palacio as president after the vote, keeping with the country's constitution. Well, this is an interesting thing, because this was another way in which you can get rid of tyranny. Now, we don't know if actually this vice president, this new guy, would be any less of a tyrant than the leftist president, but nevertheless, there is a possibility. The leftist is now looking for asylum elsewhere. Even Chavez is saying, well, maybe, Chavez down in Venezuela, he's a hardcore communist, basically, a leftist, who runs and ruins that country and corrupts the voting system and so forth. Well, even him, he's not necessarily willing to take this guy into political asylum. He's trying to go to this Lucio Guitares guy's planning to go to Panama, if possible. So we'll see what happens to him. But even the left isn't being very friendly to him. And the left never is. You just remember the deal with Trotsky and Stalin. I mean, these people are ruthless, vicious people. So commonly we watch them attack and kill each other. They have there's no love lost between them, that's for sure. At any rate, this is an interesting story. It just happened to be on the headlines as well as us talking on the political cesspool about secession and the possibility of revolution and the possibility of actually using the political process to change things and being successful. Thought that would be of interest to you this morning. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be back in a minute.
Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. Government is force. Like fire, it is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. President George Washington.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. As many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported, and here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is, non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NPPros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, PROS as in professionals, your nonprofit professionals, that's NPPros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
Public schools will never excel because they lack intellectual capital and have to compensate for too many social problems. Daniel Golden.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
And we're welcoming you back to Christian Worldview. I mentioned the political cesspool, which I was a guest on last night from about 7:30 to 8. One of our research staff sent up some information on the political cesspool I thought I'd pass along to you since they are a sister station. We want to support them in any way we can. There are now several ways that you can listen to the political cesspool. If you live in the Memphis area, you can always catch them on Monday through Friday from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time on AM 1380 WLRM. They said, we are also streaming live over the Internet during those days and our times at our official website. This technology allows folks from all across the nation to tune in and listen live as if they were in our Memphis studio themselves. You can't catch all live broadcasts. If you can't catch all the live broadcasts, all of our recent archives are stored at the website as well. We are now syndicated nationwide on the American Voice Radio Network. Repeats of our programs can now be heard on American Voice Radio Network and all numerous affiliate stations that carry their feed from Alaska to Florida. So if you're interested, you can either go there to AmericanVoiceRadio.net or just check out thepoliticalcesspool.org. I gave you the incorrect website before because I left off the word the there, the article. It's www.thepoliticalcesspool, that's CESSPOOL.org. And you'll be able to listen there to yesterday's broadcast with me, the Tyranny Response. It was a pretty exciting time. I had to admit, I really enjoyed being on with that young man, James Edwards, and I'm sure you'll enjoy listening to the interview if you can go ahead and tune into that. We have a quotation from Samuel Adams sent up by our research staff this morning. I think it's pretty interesting to read. Contemplate the mangled bodies of your countrymen and then say, what should be the reward for such sacrifices? If you love wealth better than liberty, the tranquility of servitude than the animating contest of freedom, go from us in peace. We ask not your counsels or arms. Crouch down and lick the hands which feed you. May your change sit lightly upon you. And may posterity forget that ye were our countrymen, said Samuel Adams. That's a good one to go ahead and put on the website. I think we're going to try to post that onto the website at on policyofliberty.net. Any rate, South Point Baptist Church is hosting the Institute on the Constitution. Wanted to let you know about this. You're cordially invited to friends and neighbors to join friends and neighbors for a wonderful opportunity to learn about American history, the underlying biblical principles on which our government is based, and the history of the drafting and ratification of the United States. Classes began on April 11th and are continuing now every Monday evening for the next 10 weeks, starting at 6:30 p.m. and going till 8 p.m. Each class will feature an informative 30-minute video lecture by constitutional attorney and professor Dr. John Eidsmo of Faulkner University. Don't miss an opportunity to learn how America can recover its lost freedoms and the legacy of liberty our founding fathers fought to preserve. For information or to register, call Pastor Tony Romo at 864-269-1443. That's 864-269-1443. I had a comment from a listener saying, Dr. Coben, have you got any contact info on South Point Baptist Church, especially a street address? Someone asked me. Well, actually, I don't. The worst part of it is I have a terrible time finding things in the Greenville area. It's one of the most – I've lived in a lot of places in the world, including Los Angeles, Northern Virginia. I've lived in Santiago, Chile. I've lived in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And I've lived in Grants Pass, Oregon, and many other – and these are for significant numbers of years. Almost immediately, I was able to find my way around in any of these places. It takes you a little while, a few months maybe, to really get acquainted and feel comfortable with where you're going. Still, after several years in Greenville, one can become lost. It's the only place I've ever lived where you can actually be traveling in the Greenville area, the broader area. You can actually be traveling down a street going southeast, and that horseshoes, the same street, just turns around, and all of a sudden you start going northwest or maybe north, straight north on the same street. There are streets which take dog legs here and there. It's a crazy place to actually try to drive around. Street names change and so forth. Anyway, the long and the short of it is I don't know the street address of the church, and I wasn't able to find it last Monday when I tried to go out and attend. So perhaps we'll have a caller call in and give us more exact directions on how one might be able to get to Pelzer. Well, you know, I take that back. I've got something right here in front of me now. Humiliation. It's good for me. South Point Baptist Church is located at 203 Ina Marie Lane. 203 Ina Marie Lane in Pelzer, South Carolina. Now, why didn't I have that map quested before I tried last Sunday? I don't know, but you don't have to make that same error that I did. Go to 203 Ina Marie Lane and find out where that is on MapQuest. The Pelzer zip code is 29669. And get in touch with Pastor Romo at 269-1443 for information or to register. You'll be glad that you did. I also had an opportunity to attend another conference last week. It was presented by the Christian Worldview Center at North Greenville College. Of course, this is headed up by my former radio co-host colleague and neocon, Tony Beam. He says Dr. Tony Beam because he has a bachelor's degree from Limestone University and a doctor of ministry degree from, I think it was Southwestern Baptist Seminary, something like that. And that is his background. Tony is a great fellow, a nice person to know. Enjoyed being with him. Of course, we don't agree on much in terms of politics because he was a big Bush supporter and he is a neocon. Anyway, he heads up the Christian Worldview Center, and you can only imagine that the Christian Worldview Center is different than how it would be structured if I were there. Well, anyway, he had if I were there in charge of it, I should say. He had this fellow, Cliff Kelly, a PhD, who has a PhD from Ball State University, I believe it is, in Ohio, who was a philosopher and is, I suppose, still a philosopher, who was converted late in life after he did his nihilistic sort of degree in philosophy and has come along tried to give a good conference there for Tony Beam and the Christian Worldview Center. I listened to that. It was interesting to hear what the fellow had to say. A little bit superficial, but that might be expected for a sort of a chapel service for North Greenville College students. Nothing necessarily wrong in what he said, although there was nothing really deep and cutting. And this is one problem I find when we have Christian worldview programs. They're plauded and lauded like Dr. Tony Beam's is, but in reality, Christians don't come out of these programs really having dealt and grappled with the worldview issues and simply believing that if they get involved in the political process as Christians, they and especially if they are get involved with Republican politics, that they will make a difference in their world, that they're being obedient to God and opposing the tyranny of the left. They're being pragmatists, as far as I'm concerned. They're not even understanding what they're doing. And this is, unfortunately, what I thought ultimately was the outcome of this program and even of this meeting. Now, I don't know about Dr. Kelly. He could be a very fine person. I went up and shook his hand afterward, gave him a copy of my book, and had a little bit of chance to talk with him. Sure, he's a very bright man, but philosophers know about philosophy, and I'm not sure that he knows a whole lot about public policy or even how to deal with the Christian worldview itself. In terms of applying it in everyday life and dealing with it theologically, he may. And it's really hard to judge based on the one lecture that I heard. But I'm fearful that things that go under the label, the rubric of Christian worldview, really are only superficial movements that either do not get to the core and root of things, or they're actually doing damage by simply passing off pragmatism and involvement with the Republican Party in some way as using the Christian worldview. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. In fact, we might talk about what the Christian worldview is when we come back from a break, and we'll do that in just a minute.
Disinfecting the modern mainstream media, Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Will Rogers said, "Those who complain about the high cost of government should be glad we're not getting all the government we're paying for."
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is your captain speaking. We want to thank you for flying TRN Airways. Now, if you'll just look out of your left side window, you can see the dense clouds of liberal lunacy commonly polluting the airwaves. On the right side, you can see clear skies full of common sense, liberty-minded conversation. Now, as we enter the Christian worldview airspace, we'll be experiencing clear-headed thinking and will soon be reaching logical conclusions. Feel free to recline your seat and enjoy the remainder of the flight. And thank you for flying TRN Airways.
We have the rights as individuals to give as much of our own money as we please to charity, but as members of Congress, we have no right so to appropriate a dollar of public money. Congressman Davy Crockett.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
Just what is the Christian worldview anyway? Well, we kind of know what the secular humanist or materialist worldview is. To some extent, maybe we don't. You know, what we really need to do is have another show with Dr. Stephen Yates on, where he can explain to us clearly in a nutshell the two opposing systems and answer questions from callers. But essentially, the Christian worldview is based on the following presuppositions. Number one, that there is a God, that God exists, and that this God is personally involved with the history of the world and individuals in human history. Second of all, it's based on the fact that there was a fall of man into sin, that man turned away from God, and that this fall caused a debasement of his spirit and his soul, in a sense that died, and so that a person now needs to be born again in order to be truly alive and be able to turn to God on his own. The effect of sin is horrid, and it extends to all human beings who have the blood of Adam and Eve in their veins, and that's why we have, for instance, wars and people attacking one another, crimes. These are ultimately a cause of sin. They're not a problem of cultural dynamics or other things. In fact, when you think about the leftists or the secular humanists, how do they explain the problem of evil? Well, they don't believe in a devil, and they don't believe in a fall of man. They simply believe that people who get bad because, you know, they have bad governments or bad states. Well, how did the state get bad? it all made up of people. Well, they don't necessarily have a good answer for that. You know, maybe there was a UFO or something that came and dropped some badness one time into somebody's thinking, and it kind of caught on and it infected some people. These people who are behavioralists believe that the badness or the evil in life is caused by some external force, although they don't explain how ultimately innocent and good people could ever get evil in the first place. It's a real lacking system as far as I'm concerned. The other part of the Christian worldview is not only that God exists and that there is that human beings are sinful and fallen, but that providence directs all of history, and that Jesus Christ is the ultimate answer not only to man's sin problem, but the cure for all the social maladies in the world. So that ultimately the preaching of the gospel, that the regeneration of men's souls changes society. That is the ultimate way that we can accomplish change in the world. And then the Christian worldview branches off from there into different perspectives on eschatology. Some people believing there's no way that the world could ever become better. We can, you know, why polish brass on a sinking ship, kind of mentality that J. Vernon McGee had and many dispensationalists have, up to the very optimistic post-millennialists who actually believe there will be a time where Jesus Christ, through his Spirit, will actually regenerate massive numbers of humanity so that most people will be converted. And when he returns, he will actually find a glorious, triumphal entry back, as most people are saved people. But at any rate, all of them comprise a part of the Christian worldview. But the basics, the three basic things to remember are the existence of God, of a personally involved God, and the fallen nature of man and the effects of sin in the world, and the providence of God in guiding history, especially in the revelation of his Son. And those things give us the basis for a Christian worldview, and that's what we're all about here. Now, we are only dealing with one branch because your host, the Tyranny Response Unit's training, although has a fair amount of theology behind him, has his training in public policy. I studied my doctorate in public policy under Walter Williams and others at George Mason University, as well as a master's degree in economics and another master's degree from the University of California, Santa Barbara in business economics. So you're getting a stronger economics and policy-oriented perspective. But you know what, folks? That's exactly what the church needs. It's what's been lacking for so long. Theologians are great in their discipline and have talked about the Christian worldview issues. They've been talking about both false religions and secular humanism and the dangers of Darwinism, even to some extent the dangers of socialism. But they have not gone as far as they need to in creating a theology of public policy that Christians can latch onto. I've endeavored to do that in my own work. My book, Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, available on the website policyofliberty.net, is a first stab at revealing for folks the liberty of conscience perspective. I've also written extensively elsewhere talking about Christian views on rebellion. That's the current column series in the Times Examiner. Number 5 is out this week, although it doesn't say part 5, I noticed. I was going to tell that to Bob Dill next time I saw him. Yes, it is part 5 of the series, even though it's not indicated as such at the top. I also have written extensively on the four different perspectives that Christians can have, evangelical perspectives of public policy. These are important things to know. It's important for people to understand where they fall and why our founding fathers fought the way that they did, what perspectives are conducive to a more active role in the political process or public policy, and they clearly are liberty of conscience and the Christian Reconstruction Movement, which we have a number of people at TRN who are involved or align themselves with the Christian Reconstruction side of things. So at any rate, the Christian worldview is a cogent, coherent form. It just lacks a lot of depth from most Christians' point of view in terms of a public policy theology. We're here to correct that. That's why I'm hosting the show. That's why Christian worldview is so important for you to listen to, for other people, to help you think better, to think more deeply about issues, to think more deeply about a public policy theology, and not just be go along with the Tory line or the received line from the divine writers that is so prevalent now in the Christian church. Sad state of affairs the church has fallen into in many areas. Public policy is just one of them. Also, there's an abysmal ignorance of economic theory, and perhaps people just haven't had economics, but they fall prey to all sorts of demagogues and fools in Washington and elsewhere who try to pawn off on them these behavior modification kind of schemes and policies, which simply will not work. They will not produce the result because the people that create those ideals do not have a Christian worldview. They will fail philosophically, because, and there will be some stumbling block along the way that will debase the entire system. And not only that, economically, the things are bankrupt. They theoretically will not hold water. Like rent control, they will not achieve the desired result. They will not lower rents for people and give people a good deal and force people to reduce their profits who own buildings. All it does is lead to dilapidation of property and the restriction of supply, the reduction in supply of housing provided, and therefore the quality goes down on rental units as well. So you cannot fight against the market. Supply and demand are fundamentals. The law of demand is a fundamental law, like the law of gravity, and you cannot buck against the thing and expect to have any success. Socialism is folly on its face, and anybody who thinks a little bit deeply about it, reads a little bit about economics, realizes that these policies that these neocons like George Bush or Bill Clinton or any these other guys have ruled lately are thrust upon us are simply wrongheaded and foolish. They will not achieve the desired outcome. We're coming up to the top of the hour for a break here on Christian Worldview, and we'll be back in a few minutes.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
Life, liberty, and property do not exist because men have made laws. On the contrary, it was the fact that life, liberty, and property existed beforehand that caused men to make laws in the first place. Frederick Bastiat.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
The people never give up their liberties, but under some delusion. Edmund Burke.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. Warning, Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschool children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
Welcome back to Christian Worldview. This is Dr. John Coben, your Tyranny Response Unit, and we are responding against tyranny today, helping inform the masses of about a better way to think and not to be simply led by the Pied Piper, whether they be in the church or out, by the way, down a primrose path that leads only to destruction, chaos, and misery, not to mention poverty, destruction, and bloodshed. That's what socialism and secular humanism bring. That's what the left has always brought, and that's what leftist policies will give us, more chaos and misery. I don't think we want that. As Christians, we are called upon to make a difference in our world, to transform our culture. The dominion mandate of Genesis 1:29 should be taken seriously. You have an opportunity to do that by helping change your own perspective. And note, even non-Christians listen to our show here. Why? Well, not because they enjoy hearing necessarily about the Christian truths, although we would appreciate the fact that they would, and we encourage them to believe in Christ because we believe that's the only hope they ultimately have. But they listen because they hear liberty promoted here on this show. We are the ones who love liberty, who love the vision of the Founding Fathers, and what other talk show in town really does? You have a lot of people babbling on and talking on talk shows here in the upstate of South Carolina and everywhere else you might be listening, but it's not truly a libertarian or classic liberal, or you can say paleo-conservative, true conservative perspective on the world that's being presented in those places. We're currently 55 degrees in Greenville, going to get up to 80 degrees today. Be prepared for some showers in the afternoon as you make your way to work. There's some thunderstorm activity going to move in later in the day. So otherwise, going to be a nice day up until then, at any rate. I want to encourage listeners to go and pick up a copy of the Times Examiner at 44 Pine Knoll Drive in Greenville, South Carolina, or call Bob or Laverle at 864-268-0576. That's 864-268-0576. Read my weekly column in there, and also read the columns presented by other great local celebrities like Ben Graydon or Stephen Yates, as well as Dr. Al Hafer, who recently did just an excellent job in talking about the PPIC Act. And there are other great columnists to read there, too. Walter Williams, nationally syndicated, Thomas Sowell, Phyllis Schlafly, Charlie Reese, Joe Sobren, and others. Give them a call. Pick up a copy directly. Or if you do call, you can order a subscription, have it hand-delivered to your door by the mailman, 864-268-0576. $25 a year is the only cost. And Christian Exodus folks in particular, take notice, $27 a year if you're still out of state making your way here and you want to get informed on what's happening in Greenville, specifically and what's happening with those who are true conservatives or pro-life libertarians. That's the newspaper to get, and we encourage you to do so. Wanted to encourage you to attend the Institute on the Constitution I mentioned earlier. South Point Baptist Church has been hosting every Monday night. Call Pastor Tony Romo at 269-1443 in the 864 area code, 269-1443. It's located at 203 Ina Marie Lane in Pelzer, and we hope you can make it out to that. Before you do, make sure you either read the columns I've had on Christian Views of Rebellion highlighting the War for American Independence, or go to the policyofliberty.net website and scroll down to the Liberty Minute section and listen to that 46-minute reading of those particular articles on Christian Views on Rebellion. They're an excellent primer before you get to the Institute on the Constitution and help you think more deeply and better about that. Another little ad. There's the Nationalist Times is a politically incorrect monthly newspaper that has reported on the progress of the Christian Worldview program since it began. TRN listeners can obtain a free postpaid sample copy by calling Nelson at 864-642-4315. Visit the Times website, anu.org. Mention this ad for a big, big discount on your subscription. The Nationalist Times picks up where the liberal media leave off and salutes Dr. Coben's pioneering broadcast work. Now, some of you might get a subscription to this. I hope you do, like I do. Don't expect that you're going to find these folks in lockstep with the Tyranny and Response Unit on every issue. That's not the important reason. That's not the important reason we read or think. This is an alternative news source to what you're going to hear on the blather and babble that's out there with respect to, just about any subject. It's worth having alternative news sources from credible, good authors in your hands, so you can get a different view on the news sometimes. So some people might say, well, this isn't, why are you supporting this, Dr. Coben, the Nationalist Times? You're not a nationalist, and that's true. And there's also some things in here that you wouldn't agree with. Well, so what, folks? I mean, you don't have to be so scared to read something you don't agree with. In fact, you should be challenged and sharpened by reading things you don't agree with. I'm not saying you only spend time reading things you don't agree with and don't help build your base philosophy or your base Christian worldview understanding, but it's not going to hurt you to pick up things and read that you don't necessarily agree with. I would encourage you to do so. The Nationalist Times, great paper, has seen some excellent things, some excellent articles come out in the Nationalist Times. So do go ahead and give Nelson a call at 864-642-4315 and get a sample copy of it. Well, what do we have going on in the news today? A few things. You know, before I get to that, I thought to myself, we've been talking last hour about the Christian worldview, and some people have asked me, you know, Dr. Coben, you went to George Mason University. Where do I go, or where should my children go? Let's say you want to go get a graduate degree, and you want to study public policy or economics, for instance. I can't really comment on engineering or astronomy or some of these other things and where to go, but some of the fields that I'd know. And I also, having just put my first homeschooler into college and got him registered, at any rate for the fall, I should say, he's been a student at North Greenville here for this last semester. Locally, but if we look at, you know, different colleges, where can we go to school, and should we go to school? Well, I'm going to give you the answer to that when we come back from a quick break in just a minute. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Warning: Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. Government is force. Like fire, it is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. President George Washington.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. As many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported, and here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NPPros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, PROS as in professionals, your non-profit professionals, that's NPPros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
Public schools will never excel because they lack intellectual capital and have to compensate for too many social problems. Daniel Golden.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
Well, where you send your child to college is an important, a very important thing, I think, especially from a Christian worldview perspective. My view, and some of you may differ with me on this, but my view is as follows. The first 2 years of college are two of the most formative years in a person's life. And he should have a Christian college background during those periods. He should take a course or two or three or four in the Bible and theology from a conservative Orthodox school that helps him understand the Christian worldview. And he should take the base courses that he would either in homeschool. Like in our case, our kids clept these things, but either in homeschool or elsewhere in a Christian school, that have a Christian worldview perspective, psychology, economics, history especially, Western civilization. And you're not necessarily going to get a college where you agree 100% with everything that's taught, but it should be pretty close in line, and I think those are important reasons to send a child to a Christian school to begin with. If a student wants to study economics and have a firm understanding of the truth of free market economics and so forth, the only two places really to go, as far as I'm concerned, are Grove City College in eastern Pennsylvania. Sorry, western Pennsylvania. It's in Grove City, Pennsylvania, not too far, I guess an hour north maybe of Pittsburgh. The other choice is Hillsdale College, which is a somewhat Christian college. Beware of that. There are some atheist professors there. It's not a pure Christian school, but by and large, it's a Christian college. And they have an excellent Austrian economics program. Those are the two places you really can confidently go and send kids to and have them get an education that's strongly free market. Even locally here at Wofford College in Spartanburg, where Dr. Tim Terrell is on the faculty as well as a couple of others, I understand that you can get a pretty good economics education. The problem is if you send them like to a place like Wofford, they'll be little islands when they go to economics courses, so the rest of the school is completely overrun and inundated with garbage. And so that's what you have to face if you send them there. We chose, obviously, my kids are having a pretty good education themselves economically as they come up. And we have chosen to select schools that are strongly Christian-based for further education of our kids, at least for the first 2 years. And the boys may, I have three boys first, and they'll probably end up going 4 years to a Christian college. One of my girls really thinks she wants to be a nurse, and she may have to transfer out after 2 years. And of course, she's only 13 now, and her ideas may change in the future, as your children's ideas might change. But anyway, where do you send them if you want a strong Christian college? Well, I think locally here, if the kids are commuting to North Greenville College, it's not a bad choice for them to go. It's not a highly rated college, but there's some good professors there, and you could actually have them selectively take some courses. As I understand it, there is a high school program open now that kids can basically stop going to their regular high school classes and enroll for $100 a class at North Greenville College starting this fall. And in that program, they can receive college credit, I think two or three courses a semester. Why not do it, folks? You can still have good control over things in the homeschool environment. Send them up to take a Christian college course. My opinion, not a bad idea, still keeping most of the education at home. At any rate, just food for thought, not saying that there's a right or wrong way necessarily to do things, but I think it's an option. Beyond that, the two universities that I was most impressed with in my search and that other people have said are the most spiritually minded Christian in terms of Christian values are, first of all, Cedarville University in Cedarville, Ohio, which isn't too far from Dayton, sort of between Dayton, Columbus, and Cincinnati. Check that university out. It's a GARB, a General Association of Regular Baptist University, strongly dispensational. We won't hold that too much against them because the rest of the school is beautiful and very well planned out in terms of curriculum. And everybody who goes there gets a minor in Bible. They're very serious about the Christian faith, and people can't go there without being dramatically affected by the Bible and by God's Word in all their coursework. The other choice was actually one where we've decided for my first son would like to go to, and that's Laterno University. Laterno was this fellow who invented all the caterpillar blades and things on the heavy earth-moving stuff. He was a genius of his time. He was the first one to put rubber wheels instead of metal wheels on tractors so they wouldn't sink. And he was known for giving 90% of what he made, the opposite of the tithe, the inverse of the tithe, to the Lord, and God blessed him tremendously. The university there is his namesake, Laterno, Laurieau University. Simply go to the website, letu.edu, if you're interested. Just like Grove City, it would be gcc.edu. You can look most of these up on Google if you're interested. But Laterno University is very solid as an interdenominational Christian university. And if your kid is interested in studying science, engineering, or any tech discipline like computer science or learn how to fly. I think it's the only Christian university that has an aviation program. This is the place to go. Even for pre-med or disciplines that require heavy science backgrounds, it's an excellent university. There's where you get your Christian worldview. There's my recommendation. Some people have asked. Graduate school, where would you go to grad school? Only thing I can say is if you're going to go to grad school, you've got to have a tough road to hoe in anything that's not a natural science discipline. Most natural sciences, you're going to find some places that, well, not most places, you're going to find a lot more opportunity to have people welcoming your thought. Even in history, I understand, places like the University of California, Santa Barbara, will be more willing and open to entertain non-revisionist points of view. As far as public policy and economics goes, there really is only one place to go, and that's George Mason University. Sure, there are other universities you could go and survive in, like the University of Nevada, Las Vegas. You could go to the University of Georgia, where George Selgin is, or the University of Missouri, where Larry White is, and New York University with Israel Kirzner and Mario Rizzo. These aren't necessarily Christian people, but you're going to be able to get correct understanding from a graduate school perspective. Hopefully your base is built as you went to a Christian college, and you can handle being in a secular university for getting the PhD or the master's degree. Frankly, folks, I wouldn't go anywhere else other than George Mason University. It's not perfect, but it's the best thing we've gotten. As Walter Williams said, it's the only graduate faculty in economics that has no socialists out of 235. So make a point, if you're studying economics, think seriously about going to George Mason as your choice. And also for law school, that's also another place, that's a great place to go for law school there in Northern Virginia. Well, anyway, there's my advice to you if you want to inculcate those things. And, well, let me just say one other thing. The public policy program at George Mason is a pariah program And it is very left-oriented. If you go to the public policy program, you're going to have to make sure you take all your coursework in economics if you want to survive without pulling all your hair out. George Mason is full of neo-Nazi types. That's the only thing I can call them. When you step into a classroom and the professor in all seriousness and candor says that he thinks that Hitler's economic plan was a great thing and that abortion's wonderful and he thinks there should be a committee to decide who lives and dies and that homeschoolers are radicals that need to be eradicated from the world, when you hear that kind of stuff regularly and you realize that 40 to 50 of the 55 students are on the side of the professor and you're just, you know, cowering in the corner. So no, you don't really cower, but you're there in the corner as the minority. You realize you are in a foreign land. You're in Egypt. That's what you experience at public policy at George Mason University. And when you step across the campus and actually take the courses in economics with people that know what they're talking about and actually do it as your field, then you can survive the public policy degree. So it's the only place you really can, I think, do well with a public policy degree is there as well, public policy or economics. Well, there's my opinion for you this morning. People have asked about the Christian worldview, where to go to school, where to send their kids to school. There's a few options for you. If you have any more comments about that or want more information, send an email to questions@policyofliberty.net, and we'll be happy to answer it. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we'll be right back.
Disinfecting the modern mainstream media, Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Will Rogers said, "Those who complain about the high cost of government should be glad we're not getting all the government we're paying for."
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is your captain speaking. We want to thank you for flying TRN Airways. Now, if you'll just look out of your left side window, you can see the dense clouds of liberal lunacy commonly polluting the airwaves. On the right side, you can see clear skies full of common sense, liberty-minded conversation. Now, as we enter the Christian worldview airspace, we'll be experiencing clear-headed thinking, and we'll soon be reaching logical conclusions. Feel free to recline your seat and enjoy the remainder of the flight. And thank you for flying TRN Airways.
We have the rights as individuals to give as much of our own money as we please to charity, but as members of Congress, we have no right so to appropriate a dollar of public money. Congressman Davy Crockett.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
If you have a question or a comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
You know, if you've followed the Christian Worldview program for any length of time, you know that there's a couple of links I always emphasize at the bottom of the policyofliberty.net homepage. These things get updated from time to time, especially the one called Deep Questions for Dr. Coben's radio show. If you haven't opened that document in a while, you might want to do so again. It was updated yesterday, April 20th, and there are now 20 questions. I added two very long, deep think questions. Question 19, may Christians kill each other in self-defense? And, you know, may they go into the military and so forth? And question 20 about Francis Schaeffer's arguments in chapter 7 through 9 of A Christian Manifesto he wrote in 1982. Those are deep thinking questions, the paragraphs that you'll want to be familiar with. In fact, this Friday at California Dreaming, well, we plan to discuss these questions, and if not in just one Friday, maybe the following Friday as well. If you want to listen in, you're welcome to join us there between normally around 12 o'clock to about 3 at California Dreaming off of Pelham Road near I-85 here in Greenville. Just FYI, please do check out the different changes that go on at the policyofliberty.net website. Well, we have a couple of stories I wanted to cover in the news today, as I think they relate very well to what's happening. Many Christians are unfortunately affected by the environmentalist movement. This is a satanic movement based on false science and false philosophy. That's all I can tell you in a nutshell about this. You need to reject this. whole environmentalist movement as part of a movement against God. And here we find there's nothing wrong with being a good steward of resources in the world. But the idea that you can use the state to somehow preserve resources is wrong. And the idea that we are actually going to cause calamity in the world by human action that God will not be able to overcome is also completely wrong. We will not burn up due to global warming before God wants us to burn up. We have a Christian world order. We should have a Christian worldview and believe that providence directs all of life. Well, yesterday, the House voted for the Alaska National Wildlife Reserve drilling. And the Associated Press reports the House voted late Wednesday to allow oil drilling in Alaska Wildlife Refuge as part of a broad energy bill that Democrats said would funnel billions of dollars to highly profitable energy companies while doing little to promote conservation or ease gasoline prices. The bill's sponsor said oil from Alaska's Arctic National Wildlife Refuge, as much as 1 million barrels a day, will be needed to help to curtail the country's growing dependence on oil imports. Opponents argued the oil wouldn't be available for a decade, and even then at levels that would not significantly affect oil prices and imports. The bill calls for $8.1 billion in tax breaks over 10 years, most of it going to promote coal, nuclear oil, and natural gas energy industries. Development of Alaska Refuge has been a contentious issue for nearly a decade. Environmentalists fear a spiderweb of drilling platforms and pipelines would harm the area's polar bears, caribou, migrating birds, and other wildlife. Why? I mean, that's just so stupid. Anyway, the point of this is we have so much oil in the world. There is so we have enough even in the known reserves to last for 200 years. At a growing population. There is no oil shortage. The only reason you ever have a shortage, remember this, you're hearing it on Christian Worldview, this is helping you think better. The only reason you have shortages in the world of anything are when government intervention comes along, or in the very rare case of oppression by a natural disaster, you know, a tsunami or something like that. Yeah, those things can also cause shortages. But in general, the only time you have a shortage is when the market is now not allowed to operate freely. Government intervenes and causes a problem. The reason oil prices rise and have not been going down to the, you know, under the table below, further than, you know, $1 a gallon for gasoline, is because government has intervened in one way or another. And the two ways in which it intervenes, one is to use foreign governments have collectivized and have tried to monopolize the production of oil by restricting the quantity through OPEC. And the other is our torpid government system or state system, fed by these environmentalist kooks. I should be more gracious to them. People that are misled into holding environmental doctrines have led us to stop drilling or allow people in the market to drill for oil where they can find it. And if they own the property and we people won't like the way that the property is going to look after it, we simply put a restrictive covenant on it, telling them that they have to, you know, beautify it if they're going to, as a part of the condition for them drilling on it. It's easy to do in the market. All these problems they fear are simply not going to materialize. Now, there truly may be a payoff in the political process from George Bush to his cronies. I don't doubt that. That's just typical politics. But as far as the natural resource side of things goes, there is no problem whatsoever with drilling up there, and it's a good thing that we're going to actually have more drilling, and therefore the supply of oil will increase, the gasoline prices and other things will decrease, and our society will be better off, our quality of life will be better off, our standard of living will be better off because of it. So we applaud the fact that they're now going to drill up in Alaska, yeah, and somebody's going to get rich in the process. Oh, well, at least you and I as consumers will be able to be benefited. Here's another story, switching gears dramatically. Hartford, Connecticut. Connecticut on Wednesday became the second state to offer civil unions to gay couples, and the first to do so without being forced by the courts. About an hour after the state Senate sent her the legislation, Republican Governor M. Jody Rell signed into law a bill that would allow same-sex couples in Connecticut many of the rights and privileges of married couples. The vote cast today will reverberate around the country and will send a wave of hope to many people, to thousands of people across the country, said Senator Andrew McDonald, who is gay. What a joke. Let me read on a little bit more here. Vermont is the only other state to allow civil unions. Massachusetts allows gay couples to marry, but those changes came about after same-sex couples won court battles. Remember, folks, we talked about secession earlier and how the South and the West might join and make their own unit, a different country that could survive culturally as a different country and so forth. Do you really suppose that people in the North, the Northeast Corridor, are ready to let you secede? These people think different in many respects. Even now, I don't think in South Carolina there would even be a glimmer of hope for any of these bills to pass as far as the popular vote's concerned. Anyway, Roman Catholics, continuing the article, and pro-marriage activists still plan a big rally Sunday in opposition to the bill. Marie Hilliard, executive director of the Connecticut Catholic Conference, said the civil union proposal got more legs than we ever hoped it would get. About 44% of the state's 3 million residents are Roman Catholic. Yeah, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense unless you understand the Roman Catholic Church is a false religion, and the people that hold to it are believing false doctrine and will land in hell because they have not trusted in the grace of God for salvation alone. At any rate, it's sad state of affairs. You've all heard my position on these sorts of things. States should not be into regulating and licensing marriages whatsoever. We have these problems because states were allowed to start licensing marriages. Marriages is a contract between a man and a woman before God. It has nothing to do with the state. There should never be any state licensing or civil ceremony. That's where we need to attack, folks. We're never going to win the battle just trying to chop off the limbs from these nuts that want to come up with something like homosexual marriage and so forth. I've written a couple articles on that. If you're interested, take a look at policyofliberty.net under the articles section. Simply do a control F to search for marriage and you'll find several of them there. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we'll be back in a few minutes.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
Life, liberty, and property do not exist because men have made laws. On the contrary, it was the fact that life, liberty, and property existed beforehand that caused men to make laws in the first place. Frederick Bastiat.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
The people never give up their liberties, but under some delusion. Edmund Burke.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177.
Warning, Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis. Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a PhD degree in public policy, MA degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of 6 homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
Welcome back to Christian Worldview. This is Dr. John Coben, your Tyranny Response Unit. Currently about 56 degrees in Greenville, going to get up to 80 degrees today with a chance, good chance for afternoon thunderstorms, so be prepared for that as you make your way out for work. Glad you've joined us to think more deeply this morning. This is a station that helps you think deeply. I know it's a little bit fearful and frightful to turn the dial to listen to Christian Worldview. Whereas you could be just lulled to sleep a little bit by listening to one of the other talk show hosts, a little more entertaining, a little more oh-fry. It doesn't require too much cerebral activity to listen to those. This is a little bit frightful because it requires that much more. We're glad you've taken the courage to listen today to Christian Worldview. An interesting article came up on LouRockwell.com that one of the research staff sent me the link for. It's called Pulling No Punches by Cindy Sheehan. She says, "My son was killed in Iraq this day 1 year ago, the same day of April which Martin Luther King was killed. From a jail in Birmingham on April 16, 1963, Dr. King wrote these words, 'We will have to repent in this generation not merely for the hateful words and actions of the bad people, but for the appalling silence of the good people.'" And she continues on later in her article to criticize the government and what it's doing over in Iraq, talking about Donald Rumsfeld being a liar, that he is like Hitler or Stalin and what he's done in Iraq. Very interesting. And talking about the lies of the weapons of mass destruction and so forth. At any rate, she says, in conclusion, including a couple paragraphs of her article, "Our country has been overtaken by murderous thugs, gangsters who lust after fortunes and power, never caring that their addictions are at the expense of our loved ones and the blood of innocent people near and far. We've watched these thugs parade themselves before the whole world as if they were courageous advocates for Christian moral values and for the spread of democracy. Yet we all know that they are now putting in what they are now putting in place. All across the country, a system of voting that provides no way to validate the accuracy of the counting of the votes. Our loved ones have been buried in the early graves, even as these arrogant thugs parade themselves before the entire world, insisting that democracy is worth dying for, killing for, and destroying entire cities for. All the while, they are busy here at home overseeing the emplacement of an electronic voting system that invites fraud at every turn, electronic vote counting system that provides no way to validate the votes cast, and that by its very design prohibits the recounting of the votes. In their secret hiding places while celebrating newly won fortunes with their fellow brass, these men are surely congratulating themselves with orgies of carnal pleasures. They mock the multitudes, are yet so blind to mistake them for God's devoted servants." Well, of course, the electronic voting is a huge issue, and that's something that needs to be discussed in more depth. But the thing I love to read about this article, well, I'm sad for her that she lost her son in George Bush's war over there, but to that she's actually wakened up from this and has seen that people are blind to mistake George Bush and the Republican Party and so forth as God's devoted servants. She's woken up now. She's awakened, and we hope other people will as well. These people are, as she puts it, thugs. What a great word, thug. Someone look that up in the dictionary. Let's get a precise definition of what thug is. A criminal, a person that's a brutal despot, mini despot that goes around and bothers other people. That is what George W. Bush is. That's what Bill Clinton was. That is what we face here in the United States of America. We are run by a bunch of thugs in the state. And states frequently, by the way, and generally, the norm is to have them run by thugs. Glad to see the people of Ecuador, by the way, yesterday able to oust their latest thug. Of course, they probably just put another thug in his place. We'll have to wait and see if that's truly the case. In other news, colleges are balking at government student data request. Fox News reports that the U.S. Department of Education wants universities to provide personal information about every student in the country in order, they say, to produce more accurate and useful information about the school system. But critics are already lining up to prevent any proposal from going forward. "While we recognize there are valid considerations, we are not interested in sacrificing student privacy rights for them," said Jasmine Harris, legislative director for the U.S. Student Association, which represents student governments at colleges and universities across the country. "This would take away the little protection students have," she added. Catherine Haley Will, president of Gettysburg College in Pennsylvania, penned a newspaper editorial last month questioning the plan. "Why do we have to assemble such a massive database?" she asked in interviews with FoxNews.com. "It's individual students linked to their social security numbers, their race, their gender, every single class they've ever taken in their lives, whether they keep it or drop it, the student loans, everything. But education department's officials say they want a better system to track state of higher education today. Right now, no integrated system is available to assess accurately graduation rates, degree paths, enrollment figures, tuition costs, and other trends across state lines." What a bunch of nonsense, folks. Here is another aspect, like unto the Patriot Act, where government is trying to violate your rights and get their nose where the places where it should not be.
The Department of Education does not need to keep data. We do not need to have requests from... In fact, we don't even need not only any of this stuff, we don't need a Department of Education. This is one of the most abominable departments the government is, or the state has ever fostered and thrust upon the American people. So we need to not only resist this request for student data, we need to resist the entire Department of Education and the government school system in general, as we've talked about so much here on Christian Worldview. But that's going on in the news. Watch out, folks. Looks like the Department of Education is trying to get in on the surveillance game and the violation of the Fourth Amendment and probably other things down the road. We don't want to let them have their way. Let's not let's make sure we tell people not to be in support and in favor of this Department of Education project to get more data. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We're coming up against a quick break, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. Government is force. Like fire, it is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. President George Washington.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. As many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported. And here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is, non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NP Pros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, PROS, as in professionals, your nonprofit professionals. That's npros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
Public schools will never excel because they lack intellectual capital and have to compensate for too many social problems. Daniel Golden.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
And we have a quotation from Edward Clarence sent up to us by the production staff this morning. This is a man who opposes what he calls false money and what we would also call false money and tries to get us back to a pure money standard of constitutional money based on gold and silver. And his Edwin Clarence Regal says the following, not necessarily about money, just about tyranny and liberty in general. He says, "To desire freedom is an instinct. To secure it requires intelligence. It must be comprehended and self-asserted. To petition for it is too stuffy to stultify oneself, for a petitioner is confessed subject and lacks the spirit of a freeman. To rail and rant against tyranny is to manifest inferiority, for there is no tyranny but ignorance. To be conscious of one's powers is to lose consciousness of tyranny. Self-government is not a remote aim. It is an intimate and inescapable fact. To govern oneself is a natural imperative, and all tyranny is the miscarriage of self-government. The first requisite of freedom is to accept responsibility for the lack of it." Interesting quotation from this fellow, Edwin Clarence Regal. Just received a story from coming on here in Columbia, in South Carolina, something we have to all be aware of and be careful about. Columbia, South Carolina, the AP is reporting that a new common law marriages will no longer be recognized in South Carolina under a bill that cleared the House Judiciary Committee on Tuesday. Those unions enter into after December 31st would no longer be recognized without a marriage license. Spartanburg Representative Phil Sinclair says common law marriages cause a lot of litigation. He says people believe they have protection of marriage, but they really don't. Sinclair says common law marriages arose because citizens did not have access to notary public or a justice of the peace. But he says those conditions don't really exist anymore. The legislation now moves on to the House floor for debate. Call folks, call your representatives and tell them to oppose this bill. This is a typical neocon sleight of hand, and this guy, Phil Sinclair, needs to be taken out into the woodshed and beaten. He needs to be expulsed, those of you in Spartanburg County or in this guy's district need to be on the horn and writing to this guy. This is how the typical liberal thinks. I mean, they forget about the fact that all marriages have been common law marriages, so-called common law marriages, in the sense that state didn't license any marriages until really the time of the 1920s, 1930s, except for certain interracial marriages. It just didn't exist. They're trying to make it sound like, oh, these poor old-fashioned people before we had modern systems of notaries and all that, they had to have common law marriages, but the rest of them, you know, good people had licenses. It's not the case, folks. They're trying to thrust this upon us. We need to oppose it. And even if they pass into law, you as a Christian still need to rebel, quote-unquote, against them and get a marriage covenant. Forget about licensing your marriage with the state. The state should have nothing to do with licensing marriages. And here is a little sleight of hand. They're trying to lie to people and trying to say, well, we'll just get rid of the common law recognition for marital rights and so forth, and we'll just force everybody to get into this marriage license thing. It's already not really legal to marry, in their opinion, without a marriage license. Who cares? It's better for us to obey God than men. We already know that. But nevertheless, if we can oppose this tyranny, we should. And right now it's on the floor for debate, thanks to this this goofball, Phil Sinclair, who's obviously just a dolt running in the office. He's probably a Republican, for all I know. Not that I have any love lost between Republicans and I, because this just shows their true colors. I don't know anything about Phil Sinclair. If any caller does, any listener, please call in and give us some more scoop on Phil Sinclair. And by the way, get on the horn and call this guy or write to him and tell him to oppose this and that you're not happy with what he's trying to do on and forcing people into this marriage, more into the marriage license corner of things. Interesting things going on in South Carolina. Christian Exodus, folks, you need to be thinking about that as well. Be sure to be involved with that process. Don't let that one slip by you. Well, we're coming. We have a couple of interesting stories. One more. This one just came up from the research. I'm not quite sure why they sent it, other than that it shows there's another big tax out there. The Yankees, who are trying the first team in history trying to buy their way into the World Series and win, haven't quite done it yet. After obtaining Randy Johnson, for instance, they are expected to have to pay a $30,637,000 luxury tax by opening. Where do these taxes come from? I don't know. The Yankees are only 5-9, of course, are tied to in the cellar position at the moment in the National League East division. Some of us, are like me, the Tuning Response, are very big baseball fans, enjoy going to different stadiums. Been to about 15 of the 28 stadiums out there. Enjoy following baseball. And here, maybe that's why the production staff sent it up to me, but here we have a lot of people end up having to pay a luxury tax. Not sure what that all entails. Luxury taxes, of course, are not necessarily a good thing whatsoever. Like any other tax, they're confiscatory, evil things that should not really occur. We don't need to have confiscatory, extortive taxes to actually run a legitimate government. In fact, all those things really do is pad the pockets of politicians and power brokers. So we should oppose, I think, we should oppose this sort of tax in general. Nevertheless, it is interesting to discuss. The luxury tax. Don't think we need it. Gun problem. Another article coming up from the Federalist Patriot. The gun problem by Mark Alexander. He says the right of citizens. Justice Joseph Story, quoting from Justice Joseph Story. The right of the citizens to keep and bear arms has justly been considered as the palladium of the liberties of a republic. In the wake, and Mark Alexander says, in the wake of another school shooting by another sociopathic teenager, Second Amendment opponents are again out in force attempting to convert the blood of innocents into political capital for gun confiscation. Among the first to demagogue the issue was Brady campaign gun control advocate Michael Barnes, who condemned the gun problem and criticized Congress and President George W. Bush for letting the so-called assault weapons ban expire. Million Mom marcher Kate Haviland howled, "We need to do more to make sure our young people are safe from gun violence." Why do these people, are they just stupid or illogical? Or I don't know. They actually believe that people who are criminals, who would actually kill other people with guns, are going to obey laws that don't allow them to have guns. Or they're so naive to believe that if there's like a law that prohibits guns from ownership, that there won't be any more guns in the United States. That somehow, like drugs... unlike drugs, they won't come over the borders. They won't somehow get smuggled in here with a high price and get into the hands of criminals. This is just absolutely asinine and stupid. people don't understand anything about economics, and therefore they go after these ridiculous policies. It is a tragedy to have these shootings by these insane children and so forth in public schools. It's indicative of the characteristics, I think, of what you'd find in public schools. I'm not surprised by it happening. But nevertheless, the only way to prevent violence is to create society that's more polite. Arm everybody. Give everybody the opportunity to carry a gun to school and elsewhere, and make sure that he knows if he pulls that thing out, he may get shot. That's what keeps people in check. We have to, again, from a Christian worldview, we have an understanding of the sinful nature of man and know that violence is possible. The other behavioralists out there, the materialists of the world, who believe that behavior is solely an outcome of cultural dynamics, are sadly mistaken. They lead to these idiotic policies like the desire for gun control. Well, she says a little further on in her article, she quotes Thomas Sowell about the murder rates. She says, U.S. murder rates have trended downward in the last decades as most states have implemented a right to carry laws, which make the criminal task of choosing unarmed victims more difficult. To paraphrase Thomas Sowell, most criminals aren't that stupid. They tend to go where the guns aren't. The same correlations are evidenced around the world. Nations with the highest per capita possession of firearms, such as Switzerland, where most households contain at least one assault weapon as part of their well-regulated militia, are among those with the lowest murder rates. Conversely, nations like the UK, with the most restrictive gun laws, are now experiencing escalating crime rates. And these should be just obvious to us, at least to our thinking people. Gun confiscations have never protected anyone. Gun restrictions have not protected citizens in Atlanta, Washington, D.C., New York, or Boston, much less anyone in Columbine or Red Lake, nor did such laws protect Jews from Hitler or Stalin or Chinese pheasants from Mao, etc., and ad infinitum. Folks, remember, there's another reason behind these goofballs talking about this. That's that government or the state does not like our ultimate check against them by having guns. The biggest beneficiary of gun control is not just the criminals, but really it's the state, because then they can run roughshod over us and there's really nothing we can do to defend ourselves against them, unless we're just planning on throwing rocks or something. At any rate, it just won't work very well. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be back in just a minute.
Disinfecting the modern mainstream media. Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Will Rogers said, "Those who complain about the high cost of government should be glad we're not getting all the government we're paying for."
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is your captain speaking. We want to thank you for flying TRN Airways. Now, if you'll just look out of your left side window, you can see the dense clouds of liberal lunacy commonly polluting the airwaves. On the right side, you can see clear skies full of common sense, liberty-minded conversation. Now, as we enter the Christian worldview airspace, we'll be experiencing clear-headed thinking and will soon be reaching logical conclusions. Feel free to recline your seat and enjoy the remainder of the flight. And thank you for flying TRN Airways.
We have the rights as individuals to give as much of our own money as we please to charity, but as members of Congress, we have no right so to appropriate a dollar of public money. Congressman Davy Crockett.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
And we're doing that today on Christian Worldview, also bringing you up to date on some news stories of the day, applying them to the Christian Worldview. Someone from the production staff again sent us up a Minuteman Project Issues Planning major planning statement, issues a major planning statement story, April 18th, 2005, from Tombstone, Arizona. The Minuteman Project stated today that because of the tremendous success of their grassroots effort in just 17 days of operation, MMP involvement on border monitoring in Cochise County will cease at 2 p.m. on Wednesday. April 20th. Interesting enough, if this truly is a success in what they're trying to do and protect private property rights, once again, we see government as an abysmal failure and how free markets, people who want something to happen through the market system will have the incentive to do so and will do it much more effectively and efficiently than government ever could. Costs a whole lot less to let markets do this. That's why I advocated privatizing the border rather than doing what many constitutionalists say, start sending military over their troops or building some big fence. Of course, we need to take care of the incentives in the United States for people to come, like the welfare state. We all agree on that. But I don't think the solution to protecting the border is handing the chain of command back over to the government who's failed in the first place, expecting that the same failures are going to do something successful this time. It's a bad choice, bad gamble. A couple other things from this article. It says, we have demonstrated that ordinary citizens sitting in lawn chairs not only have the will, but the means to secure our border. If our own elected officials will not defend our nation's border, American citizens will. you got to love Americans in general for their willingness to stand up and just do things on their own, regardless of what the state decides or doesn't decide to do. That's one of the great things about our country is our culture, our heritage of individualism, and we're really willing to do it our own way here. It's unlike any other nation in the world, and Americans are willing to go out on the limb as they do. They say further, we have demonstrated that ordinary American citizens secure the border simply by maintaining a presence on the border, and that thousands of citizens are ready, willing, and able to do the job of our president and Congress will not do. We are determined to assist the U.S. Border Patrol in becoming an effective arm of the Department of Homeland Security. Well, that doesn't sound good. We don't want you to become an effective arm of the Department of Homeland Security. Why? Why would you want to inflict yourself with that? Why bother messing up something that might be a good thing or a market thing by mingling it with the swines of the Homeland Security Department? Bad note to end on that Minuteman project. Shows that they are a little bit confused, although they end up doing something quite interesting down the road. Well, we've got just a few more minutes here at Christian Worldview. Glad you've joined us this morning. Hope that the talk has been stimulating and interesting for you. I want to encourage you again to go to the policyofliberty.net website and take a look at the deep questions for Dr. Coben's radio show link at the bottom of the home page. Now, there are many other things you should listen to or look at the bottom of the home page there. But we'd like to focus on the deep questions for Dr. Coben's radio show. The reason is I've added two more questions, and they're very long questions. And what I'll do is just in the last couple of minutes here, I'll read these questions to you. We're going to be discussing these at California Dreaming this Friday and the next Friday. If you care to join us and just listen in from 12 till 3 o'clock around there, we usually get over there to California Dreaming. You're welcome to join and listen in. We realize it's a hard time for many people to get away. But if you have an opportunity to do so, by all means, come on over and join us. Question 19 says this. May Christians kill each other in self-defense? What about Christians who are enlisted in the military? For instance, there were undoubtedly professing believers on both sides in both the American War for Independence and the war between the states. Is it sinful to kill a Christian brother who is attacking you in an opposing army? What special obligation, if any, does a Christian have to know about the spiritual condition of his assailant? One way to avoid this problem is for Christians not to enlist. But what if he is conscripted? Should Christians resist the draft? If so, would that include resisting the draft in wars of national defense, too? Or could we say with confidence that Christians can only enlist to defend their country, but not to attack another one, thus leaving no room for Christians to have a rightfully been part of either the British or Northern armies? Think, too, of Iraq and Vietnam, by the way. Even if the premise of Christians in combat is accepted, how can the righteous brother in defending the defending army justify killing his sinning brother in the opposing army? Should Christians favor or implement the use of weapons of mass destruction, knowing that innocent people, including many Christians, will be killed? How can one's theology of warfare be reconciled with Galatians 6:10? As we have therefore opportunity, let us good to all men, especially to them of the household of faith. Well, actually, it looks like I'm not going to have time to read the last question here, question 20, because we're running to the end of the show. But that should be an interesting food for thought. Maybe tomorrow we'll read question 20 on the show and just give you some tantalizing thinking before we meet at California Dream to discuss these and other things. We'll also discuss them here on the Christian Worldview program and hope you'll be able to tune in and listen to that. Just a reminder, Confederate Memorial Day will occur on Saturday, April 30th at 2 p.m. in Clinton Square in Clinton, South Carolina. The Lawrence Breyer Sons of Confederate Veteran Camp will be sponsoring it. Contact James DeShields for information or details after 6 p.m. Monday through Friday at 864-969-5029. That's Confederate Memorial Day coming up Saturday, April 30th in Clinton, South Carolina. Call 864-969-5029 for information. Wanted to get that in right before the show ended today. Thanks so much for listening to Christian Worldview. Enjoyed having you hearing us today, and I hope you've enjoyed likewise listening to this program. And we would encourage you to support us. Give us a call. Your emails and phone calls are appreciated, as always. And until tomorrow, signing off now. God bless you.
You've been listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben on TRN. Join us again tomorrow morning right here at 97.7 FM on the Tyranny Response Network for Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.